tell you I've been blessed beyond what I deserve, and how my heart overflows to think of everything he's done. His goodness can't be put into
in me. Help me recall, I can explain. Oh, he's given me his name. I'm the richest man that I could ever be. If I got Jesus, I got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I could never hide, and a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I got it all. Someday the trumpet's gonna sound, and the King of Heaven will ride upon the clouds coming down. I'll hit my knees, oh Lord, that seeks my soul. I'm going home.
To fall. If I got Jesus, I got it all.
If I got Jesus, I got it
all. Amen. Been a good place to be already.
Yes.
And I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Yes. Been good.
And I have no regrets that I decided to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never been anything but good. Nothing but good. And that's all he knows how to be. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Joshua chapter 1. I want to do my very best to encourage you a little bit. Last Sunday of the year, and I had some thoughts that I thought I would share with you tonight, and then driving up the road, the Lord changed those thoughts, and so I believe that's what the Lord has for us, if we allow the Lord to speak to our hearts and allow the Word of God to do its work in our hearts and lives. It's not me. It's not what I'm saying. It's what the Bible is saying. And so we want the Word of God to just find some good ground tonight. But I do want to help you because I know what I need. And I think we're all part of the body of Christ. We're all in the same boat. Most of the time, we're all dealing with the same struggles, the same type of thing, maybe in different ways, different areas. But we all deal with the same kind of stuff. But I want to help you. So turn to Joshua chapter 1. We'll read just a few verses here tonight, and then we'll see what the Lord will have us to do here. Joshua chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Just do what you're supposed to do. That's what he's saying. Don't vary either way or the other. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, for these next few moments, I pray that what I believe you give me to say and to take this scripture and to say what you have given me to say, Lord, I pray that it'll make sense. And Lord, may it do a work in the hearts and lives of these thy people. And Lord, would you, you promised your word would not return void, but Lord, you know what's on my heart and you know, the message that you have for this church. And so I pray you just enable me to say what I otherwise would not be able to say. And Lord, you empower me by thy Holy Spirit. And may I not say anything out of the way. May I not say anything that does not need to be said, but Lord, say exactly as you would have me to say. And Lord, may you get glory out of everything that be done today and Lord, in the days to come. And we'll give you thanks for what is accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. I really am praying that the Lord will make this make sense to you, what's been on my heart. Coming up the road and been in my heart for a few days and then the Lord took this message from the same spot. I was going to preach from this passage either way, but come up the road, the Lord changed the message from this passage. So, I don't know what I'm going to do. We're kind of here and we'll just see what happens. Okay. But I want the Lord to make it make sense. And here's the thought. If you want to write some things, I want you to write this thought down. How to get from where you are now to where you've never been before. How to get where you are now to where you've never been before. This book is a transitional book. It is a book of transition. It is a book of transition of leaders. One leader is going off the scene. Moses has died. And Moses is going off the scene and a new leader is coming in. And not only is it a transition of leader, but it's a transition of location. They have been in the wilderness for 40 years. And they are now going to transition from the wilderness into the promised land where God intended for them to be. And we see this transition of all of the past promises of God, all the past miracles, all that God had done. And Joshua is here looking at what God wanted to do. He wanted to do it 40 years previous.
Yeah.
And now he's staring in the face. They have been in a place. They are at a place at this moment. And they are now looking forward to go somewhere. Are you ready? That they've never been before.
Right.
Now can I say this to you? Canaan land, the promised land, is not a picture of heaven.
Right.
It's not heaven. And now I know that some songs say that. But we'd be better off getting our theology from the Bible instead of songs,
amen,
right?
Amen.
And so the Bible does not teach that Canaan land is a representation of heaven. It's the victorious Christian life.
Right.
It's the victory that we can have as we live on this earth, as we walk with God, as we serve God. It's what God wants to do. Can I say that's where God intends for every one of us to be, is living in victory every day of our life.
Amen.
That's where he wants us to be.
Yes.
He wants us to have that. But I will submit to you tonight that a lot of Christians and a lot of churches are living in the wilderness.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's true.
I want to submit to you tonight that there's a generation in this church, and I'm speaking to the entire congregation tonight, there are a generation of young people that over the last 20 some years, 30 years, have lived and died in the wilderness.
Yeah.
There are generations of young people, there are generations of adults in this church that are living in the wilderness and have lived in the wilderness. And you're not where God intended for you to be. You are not enjoying all that God has for you to enjoy. You are not experiencing all that God has for you to experience because we have grown content being in the wilderness. Do you know why? And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but because in the wilderness, you know what we have? We have guidance in the wilderness.
Right.
They had a pillar of cloud by day. They had a pillar of fire by night. They had water from a rock. Anybody had water from a rock?
Think about it.
They had manna every day. that would fall down. And they would, and God provided everything that they needed. And here is where I'm going to, I don't know, I'm going to submit to you that this may be where you're at personally. This may be where you're at as Mountain State Baptist Church. You are experiencing the guiding of God on a daily basis. You're experiencing the daily leading of God. You're experiencing the daily blessings of God. You're experiencing manna from heaven. You're experiencing water. You're experiencing refreshment. And you're thinking, wow, look at what God is doing. I'm enjoying the Christian life. But you're not where you need to be.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
You're not where you need to be as a church.
That's good.
I've been here, can I just get real plain with you without being ugly? I've been here just a handful of times over the last few years. This church is not the same church as it was a few years ago. You know why? Because we like the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
Because in the wilderness, Jared, I still get bread from heaven. In the wilderness, I still get water from a rock. In the wilderness, I still get to see a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And I don't need to go to the promised land. See, we know that we've left Egypt. And we would all stand tonight with our hands raised and say, I'm glad I'm not in Egypt. I'm glad I have experienced redemption. I'm glad I know what it means to be set free. I'm glad I know how it feels to be. I don't know, y'all. I like how it feels to be set free, right? I'm glad I know what it's like to have my sins forgiven, to be set free, to no longer be in bondage to the world, to the chains of sin, to the chains of the devil. I'm thankful. I rejoice. But I'm not where I need to be yet. God's perfect plan to bring them out of Egypt was to then go immediately to the promised land.
Amen.
Not wait for 40 years.
Amen.
But to immediately make that journey to the promised land, to possess the land, to obtain all that God had for them, to enjoy all the pleasures of God, all the promises of God, and have victory and be what God had called them to be and do what God had called them to do. But they were living in the wilderness. We know the history of this nation. We know we know all the things that had happened with this nation and that made it a nation. And this, they're now like we are. We're saved, we're set free, but we're living and dying in the wilderness. I want to say this to you. Many do not enjoy the promised land. Many do not enjoy all that God has for them in their Christian life. Listen, they for 40 years their clothes didn't wear out. For 40 years they had everything they needed.
Right.
And an entire generation died in the desert.
Yes. Think of that.
Yeah.
An entire generation died in the desert. Can I ask you a question tonight? You personally, I want you to think of where you are right now in your own Christian life. Right now. Where you are now, December the 28th, 2025, in your own personal walk with God. I want you to make it as real and personal as you possibly can. I want you to be honest. Are you right now tonight where God intends for you to be?
No.
Answer that question.
No.
Some people said no. Some of you thinking. And you don't have to answer out loud to me. That's between you and the Lord. But I want you to ask that question. Am I where God intends for me to be? If you're not, then there are some things that you have to remember to get, are you ready, from where you are now to where you've never been before. Because if you're not where you need to be in your walk with the Lord, that means you've not been there yet.
Hello.
If you, and I'm not talking about, well, I know what it's like to be close to the Lord and sometimes I just back away. No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's, excuse me, we have accepted that as normal Christian living.
Yeah, that's a coffin.
We have conditioned ourselves to think that normal, and I'm sorry, Hannah, I'm making you work hard. She's like doing this back and forth with that thing. We have conditioned ourselves to think that normal Christian living is I get over here and I get real close for a while, Austin, and then I'll get over here and I'll get away from it. And don't you dare say one word to me while I'm over here.
Right.
Preacher, don't you dare say a word.
Yeah, come on.
Don't you dare get on me for being over here.
Yeah.
You've been over here.
Yeah.
You know what we do? We want to be sheep when it's convenient to be sheep. We want to be sheep when we want somebody to pat us and stroke our fur and make sure everything's okay and put some oil on our head and heal up our wounds and bind up our injuries. But we don't want the shepherd to say, hey, don't go there.
Come on.
No, I don't want to be a sheep now.
Tell it.
So you don't want a shepherd.
Come on.
You don't want a shepherd.
Come on.
But here's what we do. We think that it's normal to live over here, and then we go back over here for a while, and then through some circumstances, and really, can I just be honest with you? Let's all be honest here. Y'all know me, I know you. It's not circumstances. It's when you decide to go over there.
Amen.
It's when you make a decision.
Yeah.
It's when you get tired of living in the wilderness, you'll go over here.
Yes, sir.
It's not about circumstance. It's not about I'm going through a valley. It's not. And you can listen. I'm not trying to downplay hurt. I'm not trying to do any of the. I'm trying to tell you that God has more for you.
Yes, amen.
And you don't have to live constantly being away from God. You can live. It is possible. We have all met people and seen people like, well, I would love to have the relationship with the Lord like they do. Well, I'd love to have the prayer life like they do. I'd love to walk with God like that man does. I'd like to walk with God like that woman does. Why can't you?
Right.
Amen.
God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
You have the same path available to you that they have.
Amen.
And if you want to get from where you are now to where you've never been before, there's some things you're going to have to do. There were some things that they had to do. They could choose to stay where they were at. New leadership. Joshua didn't just show up. Joshua had been there since the beginning.
Yes.
Joshua had been there since they were in Egypt in bondage. And Joshua could have made a whole decision to say, hey, folks, we're just going to camp out here a while. Don't anybody get nervous. We ain't going up to the property yet. Nobody get nervous. We ain't moving up there yet. Now, I'm going somewhere with that. We'll come back to that in a minute. But we ain't going up there yet. We're going to stay right here. Because right here is comfortable.
Yes.
Right here, Brother Boyd, I don't need any additional commitments. I don't have to sacrificially give if we stay here and don't go up there. I don't have to pray more if we stay here and we go up there. I don't have to, just bear with me. I came to say what God told me to say. Okay?
Go ahead.
I don't have to be more serious in my walk with God. I don't have to be more serious in my church attendance as long as we're down here.
Yeah.
As long as we're down here, I can still fulfill my child's ambition to be a pro athlete, even though that's never going to happen.
Yeah, amen.
I don't know how it is here, but I tell you, in Elizabeth and Tennessee, sports is the golden calf of Carter County.
Oh, amen.
I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. I had a pastor tell me one time. He said, I had some church members every year say, preacher, we're not going to see you for 3 or 4 months because travel ball's in season. Now listen, if we stay where we're at, that's okay. I can still do that.
Yeah.
If we stay here, I can hit and miss. If we stay here, we don't have to do but so much on the buses.
Yes.
Because we don't have room, so I ain't going to grow. I'm not going to outgrow what we have because there's nowhere to go. So right here in the wilderness is complete contentment.
Yeah. Amen.
Right here in the wilderness And I can be in the wilderness and I can still get guidance. And I can still see some miracles here.
Yes, sir.
Would y'all believe that?
Yes, sir.
Y'all agree with that? I can still get manna.
Yes.
I can still get water. I can still see God do some amazing things staying right here. But here's the question I want you to ask yourself as an individual and as Mountain State Baptist Church. Is right here where God intends for you to stay? Mm-hmm. And that's something you got to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that.
That's something you got to ask. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this now instead of later. And I know that not everybody's here. I know people's traveling. There's people sick and all those things. There's a group of people here. And he and I have not talked. Okay? If you go to that new property. By the way, that new property up the road. Everybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make sure everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
Y'all have new property?
Yes, we do.
Y'all have, is it just up there for looks?
No, it's not.
I'm going to tell you something about the new property. It can be potentially the greatest testimony for this church and for God for what just watching the faithfulness and power of God. It can be the greatest testimony.
Amen.
But you listen to me carefully. It can be the greatest testimony for worse against this church because everybody in Somerville know who owns that property.
Yeah.
And they're going to look at it and say, they own it, ain't done a thing with it.
Yeah.
Hello.
They've been asked.
Hello.
The greatest test, it could be a horrible testimony against this church when they look at it and say, when is that church going to do something?
Yes, sir.
And y'all can look in the mirror and say, we ain't decided to go forth yet.
Yes, sir. That's true. That is true.
Now, there's a generation. I want to be honest with you tonight. If you are, I want you, you don't have to stand, but if you are 65 or younger, would you raise your hand? 65 or younger. Everybody look around. Do you know who's going to bear the burden of the new building and the new property? Everybody over 65. Excuse me, everybody 65 and under. Because 5-10 years, everybody over that may, if the Lord don't come, let's be honest, may or may not be here. So the younger generation, the 65 and younger, it's going to be you that have to give. Excuse me just a minute. Everybody that just raised your hands are the ones that are going to decide if we're going where we've never been before.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
It's not the older generation anymore. They've already sacrificed.
Yeah,
you're right.
They've already given. They've already paid for a building.
You're right. Hello.
Twice.
They've already done it. It's your turn.
Yeah.
It's your children's turn.
Yes, amen.
I'm getting somewhere. Just bear with me.
Yes, amen.
But you all have got to make that decision. You all have to decide. Because y'all, and listen, if the only reason for not pressing forward is money, that's a horrible reason.
Amen.
If that's the only reason, that's a horrible reason.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to say that just again because I feel like I got a kink in the hose.
Yeah.
If the only reason for not pressing forward is money, that's a horrible reason.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I don't know if I believe that or not. I know the person who owns it all.
Yes, amen.
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 I know the one who's got who owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
Yes, amen.
I don't believe in debt. Well, listen, then just pay for the building and let everybody else have it when the rapture takes place. You ain't gonna worry about it then anyway.
Yes, amen. Amen.
So how do I get from where I'm at now to where I've never been? Let me give some things real quick. Number one, I want you to remember this. Here's how we do it. We got to remember this, that the past is the past.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Amen.
The past is the past.
Amen.
They were freed from bondage. This group of people saw the Red Sea part. They saw the water from a rock. They saw manna. They saw victory against the Midianites. They saw victories in battles. They were in the wilderness. They saw the miracle on Mount Sinai. They saw the law given. They saw the earth open up and swallow those who complained. They saw, if they had never doubted before, they had seen the mighty power of God in the past, but their leaders did. Moses is dead. Moses was a minister there that had led these people. And you say, well, what's the significance about Moses' death? Because Moses represented the law.
Right.
Listen to me for a second. Moses represented everything they knew about their spiritual life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about this. Everything about their spiritual life they got from Moses.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
Right.
Now, can I just say something to you? That's why it's important that you get your spiritual life from the Bible and not from some man.
Amen.
Because men will leave and men will come and go, but the word of the Lord endures forever.
Amen.
And you stick with the book.
Yes, sir.
He represented the law. You know what else Moses represented? He represented missed opportunities. Moses, remember when he smote the rock instead of speaking to it? And because of that, God said, you're not going in. You're not going in. And I wonder, Brother Boyd, if there was a group of people that said, I ain't going over there, because Moses, he was my leader before. And he ain't going in, and I ain't going in either.
Yeah.
They had to be. You know why? Because they're people like us. There may be some people in Mountain State Baptist Church, maybe not here tonight on the Sunday night crowd. I ain't going up there. I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
You know what else he represented? He represented everyday life.
Yes.
He just represented everyday life to them. And now he's gone. Most Christians and most churches try to live and thrive on yesterday's successes.
Yes, amen.
That's true.
Can I make a statement to you? I had the best week I have probably ever had at youth camp. That week was one of the best weeks I've ever had in my life. Just being able to be used and see what God did that week.
Yeah.
And to see so many of you still here.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you know what encouraged me was we went up and had Christmas there last week at Philip and Lindsay's, and I looked and saw Hannah's phone. She still had her card.
Yeah.
And she said, I got to keep it with my phone or otherwise I'll lose it. But she still had it.
Amen.
Yeah.
But that does nothing for Youth Camp 2026, Gray. Nothing.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. That is right.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Past. I'm not saying there can't be times in our life that we look back to past times that God has met with us and God has done some things, but it doesn't allow me to thrive and be faithful for what I need now. There's some things that we've got to let go as well, by the way. There's got to be some things you've got to let go.
Yes, sir.
We live in a culture today that everybody is a perpetual victim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. No matter what is going on in their life, they're the victim. And they use this psycho babble to project their hurt on everybody else. And I'm not talking about legitimate abuse. Any preacher that abuses someone in any kind of way, physically, spirit, whatever way, they're no count.
Right.
I'm not talking about legitimate concerns. I'm not talking about, but let me go back to what I said a minute ago. You being shepherded is not you being abused.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That rod, that the staff that the shepherd had, had a crook in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what the purpose of the crook and the staff is for? To grab somebody by the neck that's not, they're going somewhere they should not be going, to protect them because he loves the sheep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that. That hurt. Then go ahead and die if you want to.
Yeah.
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 That's right.
Yeah.
Walk on over the cliff.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Walk right on over the edge.
Yeah.
Brother Greg, when he pulled me out of danger, he hurt me. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm abused. Yeah. Mistreated.
Tell it.
He just saved your life.
Yeah, amen.
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 He just saved you from destruction.
You tell him right.
It's not abuse because you're being shepherded.
Amen.
It's not abuse because I was whipped as a kid. I was being corrected.
Yeah.
Being disciplined.
Yeah.
Just take that for what you want with it. But see, we live in the past. Here's how I know that. You know, if you were to ask most Christians today about something in their Christian life, do you know what and I've been guilty of this. You know what most people do when you ask them something about what the Lord is doing in your life right now? Or what's the Lord doing? What's the Lord mean to you? They go back to something previous.
Oh, yeah.
All of us do that. What's the Lord doing in your life right now? Well, boy, we had a great youth camp. So God's done nothing for 6 months.
Right.
In your life.
Yeah, what's he doing right now?
Mm-hmm. How is things in your Christian life? Oh boy, when I was a kid, I remember we had 20 saved on a service. How's your Christian life? Boy, I remember when we used to have some good services here in Mountain State.
Yeah.
Wait. What about right now?
Yes, sir.
Can I say something to you kindly? That if the only things that you have to talk about in your Christian life and what God is doing is some moment in the past, you're not living in the promised land.
Amen.
Amen.
You are living in the wilderness.
Yes. Amen.
Don't ruin today by living in yesterday.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Amen. Moses represented those past successes. God moving, God speaking. Those past failures. I wonder if there was a generation of young people that came on the scene and said, we could have went in 40 years ago if it wasn't for that crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would be saying that.
Yeah.
What did I do? Think about it. Because everybody under the age of 20.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, got to go in.
Got to go, but they still had to wander for 40 years. And if I was 18, I would be your typical 18-year-old. What, Lord, what did I do? I wanted to go in.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's, Lord, could you just let me in? Could I go in the promised land? Let them wander. Let me go in. But nope, you all had to wander. And you know what? We're also living in a culture, in a day and age, where the younger generation is blaming the previous generation for all their problems.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, Lord, help.
Yeah.
Can I just say this? My family's not perfect. My daddy's not perfect. My papa wasn't perfect. My papa, great papa, wasn't perfect. But I'm thankful for my godly heritage.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that I, by God's grace, Mooney, I'm a fifth generation. I'm glad I can look back to men that lived for God and knew God. And I'm thankful. And I'm not, the last thing I'm going to do is get behind a pulpit and badmouth everybody that paved the way so that I could be standing here right now. And the last thing I'm going to do is stand behind a pulpit and badmouth the people of this church or the people at my church back in Tennessee that made it possible for us to even be sitting in these pews.
Amen.
Past comfort. Manna was nice. Brother Dennis, there come a time that the manna ceased.
Yeah.
And can I just say something to you tenderly? If you as a church and you as believers stay here in the wilderness, there's going to come a time that the blessings are going to stop.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can enjoy them for a while, but there'll be a time that the manna ceases.
Yes,
it
will be.
You're right.
It's not always going to be like this. Unless you go where you've never been.
Right. Amen.
As good as they thought they had it in the wilderness, imagine when they got to the promised land and saw them grapes.
Yeah. That's right.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Think about that.
Big as a basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's walled cities over there.
Yeah,
it's not going to be easy.
Right.
The past is past. Let me give you something quick. I want to hurry here. Number two, the present requires action. we would all readily admit tonight, most of them said, I'm not where I need to be right now. Okay, then how do you go forward? It requires action in the present.
Yeah.
This is real deep. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? I mean, this is deep. I'm right ready to go PhD level on y'all. Okay? College education material coming. Are you ready? To get from where they were to where they had never been before, they had to move. They just had to move. They had to do something.
Yes.
Different than they were doing.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, you move. The present required. Look what he says in verse number 2. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, and look at the next word. Can we say the next word together? Moses, my servant, is dead. Everybody together, say the next word.
Now.
So when do you want to go?
Now.
Okay, everybody look this way. When? Everybody admitted I'm not where I need to be spiritually. So when are you going to make the decision to get right?
Now.
Are you?
Yes.
No, I'm waiting for you to give the invitation. Wait, okay. Wait. Now? Well, can we wait till January the 1st? Because that's when I do my resolution. You know, I changed my resolution. Lord, help me lose weight. Jared, that's a waste. You know why it's a waste? Because I'm not going to do what I need to do to lose weight.
Yeah.
I'm praying for more hair because I've been losing hair. You know what I found out? Losing hair is a lot easier to lose weight.
Yeah.
I'm losing hair back here a lot quicker than I lose weight.
Amen.
But you know what it requires of me? It requires action now.
Yeah.
It doesn't require action tomorrow. It doesn't require action next week. God's command was to move forward and press on. Look what he says. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people.
Yes.
No one left behind.
Yes. Amen.
He was thankful. He was thankful that what God had done. And God said, I want you to move forward. I want you to look at verse 2. Again, thou and all this people unto the land. Look what it says. Which I do give. And look at verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Wait a minute. Do you know what the Lord just told them? The moment you get across the Jordan, that's yours.
Yeah.
And that's yours.
Yeah.
And that's yours.
Yeah.
And do you know what the Christian life is? It is you one step at a time getting victory.
Yeah.
And getting victory.
Yeah.
And getting victory. That's the Christian life.
Yeah.
Obedience is by a step every single day. Victory is one step at a time.
Yeah, amen.
Let me give the third thing and I'll hurry here. Number three, the promises of God are personal. Remember that. If you want to get from where you are now to where you've never been before, you got to remember that the promises of God are personal. Look in verse number 5. Now, who is the Lord talking to? Somebody tell me.
Joshua.
Thank you. Look what he says in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, look what he tells Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee.
Right.
I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
That is right.
The promise of God was personal. You know what? We're living in this day and age where we're trying to do things and we're trying to, I want to get closer. I want to walk closer with God. I want to have a better relationship with the Lord. I want to move forward. I'm tired of being where I'm at and I want to go where I've never been. And can I give you the greatest, I think maybe the greatest promise in all of Scripture is that God said, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, I am with thee.
Yes, amen.
And he told Joshua, let me give you a personal promise that just like your your predecessor as he saw me on the backside of the desert in the burning bush. He said, Lord, I don't even know who you are. Who do I tell him has sent me? And he said, I am has sent thee. I've got me here to tell you tonight that in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your darkness, that the great I am still is for you today. If he ever did do it, he can still do it. If he ever was, he still is.
Amen.
He's a good God. He's a faithful God. What God has always been, he always will be. It's a personal promise. He's with us. He told Moses, I'm going to be with you. He tells Joshua, listen, it's going to get hard, but remember, I'm going to be with you. Listen, church, listen to me. Life is hard. But he's with you. I don't understand. He is with you. The preacher may not always be there. Your spouse may not always be there. Your family may not always be there. The church is going to let you down, but he will never let you down.
Amen.
Hey, he's with you. He told Joshua later on in Judges, he's going to tell Gideon, listen, it's going to be difficult. You're going to look like it. You can't get it done, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
He's going to tell David when he goes to stand before Goliath, it's going to seem like it's an unsurmountable task, but listen to me, I'm with you. He's going to tell Ezra when those exiled Jews are, they're over in exile, he's going to tell Ezra, I know it looks like you can't build it, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
Nehemiah, I know it looks like that wall will never get built, but I want you to remind you of something. I'm with you.
Yeah.
He's going to go on in the New Testament. And praise be to God in Matthew, there's a prophet that says he's coming and his name's Emmanuel. You know what that means? He is with us.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Jesus himself is going to, as he ascends into heaven, he's going to say this. His departing words are, lo, I am with you always.
Amen.
The greatest promise that you and I should hold to is the fact that God said he is with us every step of the way.
Amen.
Oh, I feel sometimes, listen, I've been through difficulty and I've been through trials and I've been through temptations and tests just like you have. And sometimes we would all admit we've been in a place where we didn't even know that God was there.
Yeah.
Amen. That it didn't feel like God was there. Oh, we felt like Job. I think it's in Job chapter 23 when Job said, I looked in front of me and he was not there.
Yeah.
I looked behind me and I couldn't see him.
Right.
I looked to my left hand where he worketh and he wasn't there. And I looked to my right hand and he wasn't there. Brother boy, the next verse said, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when I'm not, listen, there's been times in my life when God's not always been on my radar, but there's never been a day that I've not been on his radar.
Amen. Amen.
There's never been a day. There's been times when I wondered, where is God? But there's never been a time that God looked down and said, I wonder where he is. He knew exactly
Amen.
Where I'm at. He knows where you are.
Amen.
Those promises are personal.
Amen.
Let me give you the fourth thing. There is a purpose to God's strength. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. I want you to get this, would you? For unto this people shalt thou, what's the next word? Divide for an inheritance the land. Wait. They've not stepped one foot on the land. And God's already got it divided for them.
Yeah.
I wonder if there is success in the future.
Yes, there is.
Brother Boyd, I wonder if there's blessings up there.
Yes, there is.
I don't know. He already divided it for you.
Yeah.
You've not even got there yet.
Amen.
He sees what you don't see.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, but don't you know that when we cross the Jordan, we got to go to Jericho? Yep.
Yeah, think about it.
But don't you know that there's cities that we got to conquer? Yep. Don't you know that the politics of the county and the city and the nation could change? Yep.
Yeah.
Well, what are we supposed to do? Go.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Be strong.
Amen.
And be courageous.
Yes.
And go.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Can I say this to you? That the strength that God's provided is not for your ways, it's for His purpose.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, Lord help me. There are a lot of Christians in my church back home, and there may be a lot of Christians here in this church, that you're wore out, but it's not from spiritual activity.
Right.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
You are worn out from running here, there, and yonder. Yeah. It's not from spiritual activity.
Yes. That's right. Think about it.
You're worn out from life. You're worn out from all those things in our lives and in our lives of our kids. We spend so much time trying to give our kids what we didn't have that they get the one, that they miss the one thing that we did have.
Oh my! Wow! Amen. Say that again.
I don't know if I can because that just came out. I don't know. Think about it. The one thing. See, here's the problem. There is no spiritual stability in our homes.
Right. Right.
You know why there's no spiritual stability in our homes? Y'all ready? Mm-hmm. Buckle up.
Yeah.
Because there's no leadership in the homes.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
And there's no leadership in the homes because men are not taking their God-given role to lead their families.
Yes. Amen.
Can I just say this to you kindly? Some men, not just here, some men all over are going to get a backbone, and instead of telling God no all the time, tell their wife and their kids no.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
No, honey, we're going to church.
Right.
Yes, sir.
No. No. He ain't playing tonight.
Yeah.
Well, she'll get mad at me. She's already mad at you.
Yeah. You don't know why.
No. And there's ways you can say, no,
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Listen, how can you say that? Because I watched that man right there say it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And as a teenager, as a young man, I didn't like it. And I didn't understand it.
Right.
But you can all see me now. Yeah. I've got trophies in my room that I keep all over. And I'm worth millions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello.
Because I was such a success.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Good preaching.
Tell it right.
No, I look back now and say, I'm sure glad I had a daddy that said,
Yeah.
I'm sure glad that when I was up here at Somerville Memorial Park on the senior league ball field on a Wednesday night, bottom of the seventh, two outs, I'm thinking, and third out, and I see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I went to church in my ball uniform.
Mm-hmm.
I was abused. And mistreated.
Yeah. Yeah. You look like
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, God gives me strength to obey Him.
Yeah.
Yes, He does.
Not to do my way.
Yes, that's right.
Not to do what I want to do.
Yeah,
good.
See, if you're worn out from running all to and fro all over three counties wide, God ain't gonna give you strength. Don't pray and ask, God, give me strength to miss church.
Yeah, it ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen.
No. Lord, would you give me strength to say no?
There you go.
There's an abundant supply.
Yes, amen.
Lord, would you give me strength to get my job and get my work done and get my family, get things ready on Saturday?
Yeah. And
to prioritize my life and would you get, look, cause I'm tired of being in the wilderness. I'm tired of being where I'm at. I want to go where I've never been before.
Yes.
And God says this, oh, I have an abundant supply of strength.
Yes, yes. Sir. Amen.
That's good preaching.
Yes.
Strength. Let me ask you, and I'm done. I don't know what the future holds for this church. I got my own church that I serve at. This is my home church, though. And I've watched, as you all have, many of you have, for almost 22 years, God do some amazing things.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes.
Things that I never thought would happen.
Yes.
Ups and downs. Listen, ups and downs are normal.
Sure. Yes, they are.
It's not always be like this. You're gonna plateau sometimes. Can I ask you though? Are you right now as a church content being where you're at right now?
No, sir.
If you're not, then there's only one option.
Right.
Arise and go forward.
Yeah,
but you don't want to. No. No excuses.
Amen.
Either you're going to. Listen, you are going to make a decision, and I'm going to put it on you, and I'm going home tomorrow. I'm going to put it on you real hard. You're going to make a decision right now.
Yes, sir.
Of whether you as an individual in your own Christian life, in your personal walk with God, are going to stay in the wilderness, or you're going somewhere you've never been.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to be closer. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to serve more. I'm going to be committed more. I'm going to volunteer more. I'm going to give more. Mm. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to do all of those. I'm going to do it more, and I'm going to move forward. And then you as a church have to make a decision.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You have to make a decision. Now.
Yeah,
are we going to stay in the wilderness and enjoy the blessings for a time, or are we going where God wants us to be?
Yes, sir.
You make a decision. Father, we just ask you to help us. Lord, I tried to be obedient to you. Lord, I just wanted to try to come and help these people. Would you help us, Lord? Help me. Lord, I don't want to go back home and stay in the wilderness. Lord, I want to be what you've called me to be. Would you help me? Would you help me? In Jesus' name. Christy, you play whatever. You come. Have the Lord's dealt with your heart. I'll just encourage you to do this. If you don't want to stay where you're at, then I will come forward and say, Lord, help me to move where I need to be in your personal walk with God. If you're not where you need to be, then you need to make a decision. And listen to me, I'm not trying to force you into something, but no decision is a decision. No decision is a decision. Indecision is making the decision right now. So you come, you do what the Lord's called you to do. You do business with God. Brother Clark, you go ahead and do whatever y'all normally do.